Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Jamestown was now ruled over by an all-powerful governor. Well, several governors who came and went. Each of them was brutal and whipped the colony into shape with military-like laws. Their cruelty saved the lives of the colonists who had been in such chaos and sloppy disorder when the governors arrived that nearly all of them had starved to death or had been killed off by sickness. Now, the colony was thriving, and there was even a second colony nearby. The second colony was on better soil, not a swamp like Jamestown, and the colonists could now grow things. On top of that, the governor had made peace with the natives. One of the colonists, John Rolfe, had even married Pocahontas. Okay, so now the colonists can leave the protective walls of the colonies and can venture out and plant food and tobacco. They can raise their farm animals outside the colony, do their washing outside of the colony, and they're not going to get hit with an arrow or tomahawk. Remember when poor old poverty-stricken England was worried about being able to produce things from its own land for its own people? They had to take ships everywhere to get spices, certain food, wood, and other things. They had their own wood, but their forest was shrinking, and eventually they'd run out. We discussed this in the first couple of episodes, and we also discussed how the population of England was growing so fast that they couldn't provide jobs for everyone, or feed everyone, and there weren't enough houses for everyone. The crime was also 10 times what it is today. So now we're going to zoom in on one of the reasons they colonized the Americas. That was the desperate need for raw materials. Things like iron and gold, which come from the ground, and glass, which comes from basically melting sand. The English dream was that they were building a colony that would find these items and ship them back to Europe and the rest of the world where they would sell them. This would have put a lot of money into England's bank account and also into the personal bank account of King James, who was flat broke. Not only was he broke, he was about £1 million in debt, which again is about $312 million in today's dollars and $245 million in today's pounds. In last week's episode, we talked about how a colonist named John Rolfe, who also happens to be the man who married Pocahontas, was experimenting with tobacco. He was planting it in all sorts of ways and trying to make it taste better. He figured out a way, and that type of tobacco happened to grow very well in the soil of Virginia. So he sent some to England, and everybody realized they could sell a ton of this to the world and make a lot of money. So the tobacco craze started. Everywhere you went in the colonies, you'd see tobacco planted everywhere it could be planted. The streets of Jamestown were lined with the plant, and a law had to be passed ordering every person to also plant some corn. Otherwise, nobody would bother planting food, and they'd just have a bunch of tobacco growing. I guess they didn't learn from the previous years when all of them had almost starved to death. But this must have been really exciting to finally see money after everything they spent getting the colonists of Virginia in the first place. For years, the colonists tried to find gold and had failed. For years, the people who had paid for the colonists to immigrate to the Americas hadn't seen any real money back. The planting and selling of tobacco was great news for the Virginia Company who owned the colony, with the king's permission. They were going to make a huge amount of money. All of the money being made had to pass through them, since they owned all of the colony. It was like the colonists were employee worker bees, and the Virginia Company were the bears eating all the honey. This was fine for the colonists, though, since they benefited too. Most of them had immigrated to the Americas because they weren't doing so well in England. They wanted to make a better life for themselves, and selling tobacco gave them more riches than they could ever have imagined had they stayed in England. Plus, they still needed the protection of England against Spain and France and the Netherlands, who also had territory in the Americas and might attack the English colonies if England hadn't been sworn to protect them. The planting and selling of tobacco to Europe was also good news for England and the king. They were making money from it too. Even though this was making more money than they had previously seen, it still wasn't one of the purposes they had established the colony for. The Charter of Virginia stated that one of the goals was to find raw materials to support England's population, and this was a very real problem they had to attend to. Iron was a big one. Iron was used for weapons, bolts, nails, saddles, ship parts, and a million other things. England didn't have much of that in its soil, so it needed the colony to find some. Iron is usually found in the ground mixed in with rock, and to get the iron out of the rock, you have to melt it until both the iron and the rock are liquid. In 1609, a huge supply of iron weighing 16 tons, which is 32,000 pounds, was shipped to England. This was still in its iron and rock form without having been melted yet. When it got to England, they were able to melt it and sell the iron for a large amount of money. However, the work required to find, dig up, and ship this iron and rock over to England was too much work, and so not a lot of it was done. That was until 10 years later. Someone had discovered iron in the ground near one of the colonies, Henrico. This time, they wanted the iron melted away from the rock before it got on the ships to England. So, the Virginia Company found people in England who specifically knew how to get iron out of the ground and melt it. More than 100 men were brought over from England to dig out the iron in that area. Then, they built a fancy fireplace designed to melt the iron and rock. Seems logical, right? Maybe it would have been if they had set up more protections. At that time, the English colonists in Virginia were at peace with the natives. The peace had been in place for 8 years. Many of the natives had become good friends with the colonists, and the colonists with the natives. There was no reason to think that they would be attacked. However, the chief of the tribe in the area had been secretly planning on ridding the land of all Englishmen in one swoop. This was known as the Massacre of 1622. And we'll get into how that changed the government of Virginia in a future episode. But for now, we'll talk about the immediate effects it had on the colony. Before the ironworkers could find much of anything, they were attacked by the natives. Their equipment was thrown into the river and all of the Englishmen were slaughtered like animals. After everything was said and done, the only thing the Virginia Company saw in iron from this location was a pair of tongs and one bar of iron. Some attempts were made to set the fireplace up again with new workers, but it never really worked out. And that dream at that location was dead. Glass was also a major issue in England. They needed more and more of it, and besides not having enough, there weren't many Englishmen who knew how to make it. So they had to build factories in Europe and hire foreigners to make it for them. Naturally, the Virginia Company tried to produce it in Virginia. It wasn't just English colonists who tried this. Men from the Netherlands and Poland were sent to Jamestown to try and melt the sand and make their glass. There was also a group of 4 skilled Italians who sailed over to make the glass in Virginia. The whole thing was full of disaster. First, the house they built to make the glass in blew down from the wind. Second, the sickness that came around Virginia every year reared its head again. Colonists who had been there in previous years had built up an immunity to the diseases, but the new workers, like those working in the glass houses, they didn't have that protection. In 1620, the governor of Virginia wrote that 300 people had died from the sickness in just that year. The next year, 1,200 people died from the sickness. So even though hundreds of people had immigrated to the colonies in Virginia, the population was actually decreasing. Data shows that somewhere between 75 and 85% of newcomers to Virginia died within the first year. This eventually lessened as people became immune to diseases and the diseases therefore spread less, but it was pretty brutal for a while. Within the 5 years from 1619 to 1624, 5,000 immigrants had come over to Virginia, but the sickness was so severe that by the end of those 5 years, the population had only increased by about 200 people. It wasn't until a couple of years later, in 1624, that the population started to survive the illness in larger numbers. The Italian glassworkers themselves came down with severe illness and their captain died from the sickness. Finally, a third reason the glassmakers were doomed to failure was the massacre of 1622. It put all of their work to a stop. They weren't killed, but it wasn't safe to work and it wasn't safe to stay. They turned mutinous and wanted to leave Virginia. The Virginia Company desperately tried to save the glassmaking operation and even sent sand from England over to them. But it was no use. The men refused to stay. They cracked the furnace open with a crowbar and returned to Europe. the men who had sent them the sand from the Virginia Company later said that, quote, a more damned crew hell never vomited. So tobacco it was then. Tobacco would be what Virginia made and what Virginia sold. The only problem now was that they weren't the only ones growing and selling it. Tobacco had been making its way around the world for over 100 years by this time. The Spanish grew tobacco in their American territories and sold it around the world as well. Remember that the English colonist John Rolfe had found a way to make it taste better than what was being sold. His version was sweeter, and it was his version that was grown in Virginia. So Virginia tobacco had a better chance at selling than the other, more bitter types. This might have been enough on its own to sell more than the Spanish were selling. However, the Virginia Company wanted King James to ban the Spanish from selling in England. Why should they let a rival company onto their shores to compete with them? Didn't they need Virginia to be successful? And let's not forget that for every sale the Virginia colonists made, some of the money would go directly to England's bank account, and some of the money would go directly to the king's bank account. Seems reasonable to stop Spain from competing with them. Well, we also have to recall that England had been at war with Spain for generations, and it was King James who had finally made peace with Spain. There were even instances where King James held his own people back because it meant that it would maintain the peace between England and Spain. So naturally, when the Virginia Company asked King James to ban Spain from selling tobacco in England, he refused. He didn't want to offend Spain's king. If that weren't bad enough, James decided to issue an order saying that Virginia couldn't ship more than 55,000 pounds of tobacco each year. 55,000 pounds was the limit that the Virginia Company and the colonists could make as a collective group each year. This may seem harsh, but Virginia had only brought 40,000 pounds of tobacco to England in the year before that. So to James, he wasn't really stopping them, and he was even giving them a little wiggle room. But the colonists of Virginia had a lot more than 40,000 pounds to bring now. We can see evidence of this in the record 6 years later, showing that Virginia had around 500,000 pounds of tobacco to sell. This was just 6 years later. A limit of 55,000 pounds was not going to be taken well by the colonists or the Virginia Company, who would make money when the tobacco was sold. And they had to sell it somewhere. Obviously, the Virginia Company was outraged. But the king had his reasons to limit the amount Virginia could bring and for refusing to kick Spain's tobacco out of England. No matter how hard they tried to convince him that this was a terrible idea, he wouldn't change his mind. Maybe this is because James hated that his subjects smoked it. In fact, years before this, in 1604, when he was newly sat on the English throne, he published a mini-book called A Counterblast to Tobacco, in which he called it a, quote, vile custom, and talked about how much he hated it. He tried to discourage anyone from bringing tobacco into England, and he did this by charging those who brought it in a high tax, a super high tax, so high that it was 4,000 times the cost of what it was under Queen Elizabeth. The high taxes wasn't really to keep people from smoking it, it was to keep people from competing with Spain. Spain could pay the taxes because it was already rolling in money from selling tobacco. The colonists were just trying to get started. Not really fair. The more likely reason for James refusing to ban Spain from selling tobacco in England was that James wasn't only looking out for the health of his people's lungs. He was also looking out for their lives and trying to prevent another war with Spain. At the time, Spain was the largest seller of tobacco in England. If one of England's colonies started pushing Spain out and selling their own tobacco, that could make Spain angry. It was probably a small comfort to Spain to sell so much tobacco in England, because what Spain really wanted was Virginia itself. It had claimed that Virginia was part of its Spanish territory in the Caribbean and that England shouldn't have colonized it. Spain also had to deal with English pirates constantly capturing their ships and taking gold that was headed to Spain. So Spain had to deal with all of this nonsense from Englishmen and settle for selling things in England. James didn't really want to push them out of England. I mean, Spain could only take so much. Consider for a moment that Spain didn't even allow England to sell tobacco in any of their territories. So, tobacco selling was a little one-sided here. But things were very dangerous, and peace could be blown up into war by one wrong move. Not only did he want to keep Spain from being angry and a war from breaking out, he was also still flat broke, and England itself needed a lot of money, or it would slide back into the poverty-stricken hellhole that it was in a decade earlier. One of the solutions to England's money problems was for James's son to marry the King of Spain's daughter. They weren't engaged yet, but James was trying to convince the King of Spain to let his daughter marry his son. So it wasn't just war that was at risk if he angered Spain. It was also a possible marriage that could fall apart if Spain decided to drop out of the marriage talks. Okay, so bring in the Spanish tobacco to keep Spain happy. All of James's war problems would be solved. Then, maybe, Spain will agree to have their princess marry his prince. Spain has extreme amounts of money, so all of his money problems would be solved too. And maybe those colonists will finally produce things other than tobacco. After all, we did send them over there with the idea of producing iron, glass, wood, and anything else England needed. So come on, don't give up on that. Put down the tobacco and let's keep trying for that iron. Well, not really. The Virginia colonists told James that if he didn't change his mind and allow them to sell as much tobacco as they could, they would have to abandon the colony of Virginia or die. They had tried making other things to sell, and tobacco was the only thing keeping the colony alive. Still, the king refused to allow them to sell as much as they wanted in England, and refused to ban Spain from selling their tobacco in England. So, the colonists turned to another country. They sold Virginia tobacco to Holland, and Holland was delighted to have them. Warehouses were built in Holland so that the tobacco coming from Virginia could be packaged and sold. The Virginia Company didn't really have a choice. The king was limiting the money they could make. Imagine how we'd feel if the president or prime minister of your country declared that you could only sell 1,000 cupcakes a year in your cupcake business, or that you could only fix 100 cars a year in your mechanics shop. That would be outrageous. We would turn to other places outside of the U.S. where we could sell and offer our services and not be driven into poverty by a random rule from our leader. So that was what the colonists and the Virginia Company did. It seemed super reasonable. However, that didn't stop the powerful council in England from protesting, and protest they did. They protested so fiercely that they convinced the king to do something that would entirely change the course of history. They convinced the king to issue an order saying that all tobacco coming from Virginia had to go to England first. Like, come on, give the colonists a break. This is crazy. This order was ignored at first, but 100 years later, it would become a major part of the American Revolution and the colonists' anger with England. Okay, so back to this time. The king made an order saying all of Virginia's tobacco had to go to England first, not to other countries. And when it got to England, the colonists had to pay a tax on that tobacco to the king. Again, sweet deal for the king. Not so much for the colonists or for the Virginia Company. But luckily for the colonists and the company, the American spirit of don't tell me what to do had already begun. They ignored the order completely. They had the same rights as all Englishmen, and as Englishmen, they had the right to sell their products and services to the highest payer. The king's interference and unfair laws were a violation of their civil rights. So, they kept bringing ships full of tobacco to Holland, and the powerful council in England started ordering British officers in Virginia to fine any ship headed to Holland with tobacco. But this didn't really stop anything. The ships of tobacco kept leaving Virginia and kept heading right into the warehouses they had built in Holland. Eventually, King James did change his mind. The limit on the amount of tobacco that Virginia could sell was damaging England's bank account and his own personal bank account. So he made a compromise with the Virginia Company. He wasn't going to full-on ban Spain from selling tobacco in England. Not at first. Instead, he was going to restrict them and not allow Spain to sell more than 60,000 pounds of tobacco in England each year. On top of this, after 2 years, Spain would be banned completely from selling any tobacco in England. Yeah, that's a pretty sweet deal. And on top of that sweet deal, all of the Virginia tobacco was going to be allowed, as much as Virginia wanted to sell in England. They also got the king to issue an order saying that it was illegal to grow tobacco in England and Ireland. That way, the colonists wouldn't have to compete, and English and Irishmen would have to get their tobacco from Virginia. At this time, there had already been little books circulating in England and Ireland showing people how to plant tobacco in their own soil. So people had been growing it for years, but now it was illegal. Some people continued to grow tobacco in England and Ireland, but it was in private, kind of like growing marijuana before it became legal in some of the states. The Virginia company even hired spies to report on people who were growing tobacco anywhere within 5 miles of London. The grower would be fined, and the spy would be paid a nice sum of money. So here's where the Virginia company had to give something to the king. The king was to receive 1/3 of all tobacco coming from Virginia. He could sell that tobacco and keep whatever money was made from it. As for the other 2/3 of tobacco, the colonists could sell it and keep the money, but they had to pay him a tax. This would go directly to his personal bank account. And remember, he was in a ton of debt. This pretty sweet deal was definitely pretty sweet for the king. But the deal wouldn't last long. Within a year, it fell apart. Within 2 years, the Virginia Company would be permanently shut down, and the king would take over Virginia as a royal colony rather than a colony owned by a business, which we'll discuss in a future episode. Even though there was money to be made, the terrible start of the colony still cast a shadow over Virginia's reputation. I mean, people had starved to death. They were being slaughtered by the natives. Diseases were rampant. The Virginia Company had to do something about its bad reputation. It had to make Virginia more appealing to people. They had to make it seem like a promise to those who immigrated there. And this brings us to a fateful change the company made: the establishment of democracy in Virginia. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss the democracy in Virginia and the push and pull for power that it created. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.